You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
It's a good show.
In a world where every conversation is about what movie or TV show you've just seen, one comedian doing his own voiceover for his own podcast due to monetary restrictions got tired of pretending he's seen The Wire in conversations at parties. This is Never Seen It. Comedians rewriting famous movies and TV shows they've never seen. I'm Kyle Ayers.
Hey everybody, this is Never Seen It. This is the podcast where comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they've never seen. I am your host, Kyle Ayers, and today I have two guests. I am joined by Aaron Woodall and Jessa Reed. How's it going, guys?
Good.
It's going great.
Thanks for having us.
It's great to have you guys here. Before we get too far into it, I want to remind everyone listening that we have a Patreon page now. If you like the podcast, we have a bonus episode up there every week. We have videos from episodes. We have audio from my past podcast, Faking a Murderer, where I talk to people about making a murderer for 8 hours without telling them I've never seen the show. And you can listen to
That's
it all
what I was
on
telling
Patreon.
You about. Yeah. I was telling Jess about this.
Yeah, it's so fun.
I love that.
Some people... I talk, and one of the guests, then I tell them, I'm like, I've never seen it. We talk for like an hour about it, and I tell them I've never seen it. And one person goes, I thought I had good opinions because you agreed with me. They're just like, I didn't know if I knew what was going on the show, but I'm like, Kyle's a smart guy. He aligns with me on everything. And then it turns out you were just lying to me for a while. But that's patreon.com/neverseenit. So if you guys want to go there, we appreciate it. And it would be lovely if you subscribe. But today, here we have two scenes, which is very exciting. And these are two movies that I've seen and like. And
you've seen both of these.
I've seen both of these movies. They couldn't be we're very different movies.
Yeah.
And we're gonna just do it. And oh, no, we're not. My dad's back. That's right. It's been a little while since my dad's made a cameo appearance on the podcast, and today we have another round of guess what movie trailer Kyle's dad is describing, having never had heard of the movie, let alone seen it, and only have watched the trailer. I think that's the name. And so we're going to tease it right now, just a few seconds of it, and then we're going to get back to guessing here at the end. So here's a little bit of my dad.
Okay.
I should have listened to this beforehand. This is probably it.
Okay.
He's so thrilled.
He's hanging out at the diner. The server really wants to know what he does for a job.
Okay, that's good. All right, we'll get back to it. He sounds like...
I've already got it.
Nope. Sit on it. We have had someone guess it once from five words. But we'll get back to my dad at the end. Now we're going to get into... Jessa, you have never seen Million Dollar Baby.
Yeah, I was... all I knew... I don't watch any movies, so I don't even see trailers. All I knew was that this was won an Oscar... And was protested
won
by
several Oscars.
Pro-life people. Lady Boxer movie protested by pro-life people.
Yeah.
That's all.
I didn't know it was protested.
Yeah, it was a huge, huge deal that I didn't... It was so huge I didn't get any details other than that.
And so that's where you're coming in with is just a Lady Boxer protested.
Yeah.
Do you know who was in it? Were we...
I do know it was Hilary Swank and Clint Eastwood.
Okay. I'm happy that we got instruments to score this one. This feels like maybe the least appropriate movie we've ever had a tambourine for. Xylophone. So we'll go ahead and let everyone know who we're going to be playing. That way they can differentiate here.
Okay.
I'll be playing Clint Eastwood's character.
Yeah, and my character's name is Hilary Swank's character.
And I will be stage direction.
Great.
All right. Hilary Swank's character waits outside Clint Eastwood's character's office. She's staring into an empty trophy case, the shelf of which is lined with ultrasound pictures. Clint Eastwood's character approaches.
I don't train girls.
I literally didn't ask you to train me.
You're right. I'm sorry.
Will you train me?
Get off my gym. Nah. I didn't see that coming until I read it.
Listen, I know you don't train women anymore, but you are the best, and I need to be. I need the best if I'm going to make it to the $1 million fight.
Presumably, Hillary Swank's character says something more compelling here that inspires him to help her, but contrived bullshit has never been my thing.
Okay. Only because of that contrived bullshit thing you said. I'll help you. But right now, I'm going to be kind of a dick about it. You have to do what I say, when I say it, and my one rule is that you must protect yourself.
Montage scene of them training together because boxing movies are like 70% montages.
It sounds like the montage from Home Alone.
Kevin just lays a booby traps.
She fights a Michael Jordan cardboard cutout in her window.
I thought it was the train on Mr. Rogers.
I'm working with what I have.
Yeah, a lot. You're working hard. Interior boxing gym day. Clint Eastwood's character looks on as Hillary Swank's character, already regretting not giving them names.
Yeah, it's so much to type.
Gets punched in the boob and drops to the floor. He rushes to her side as she clutches her tit.
Why is it so tender?
Clint Eastwood's character, now named Bob, as this bit is more cumbersome than it is funny, stares off into the distance as a montage of all the women he's ever trained discover their pregnancies a week before the $1 million fight.
What was the rule?
To always protect myself.
Bob backs away slowly as Swank begs him through tears not to leave.
Wait! I was supposed to get an IUD on Tuesday. Please come back. I was using an app on my phone and it said I wasn't fertile.
Bob grabs his coat and leaves as Swank cries into the mat. Interior bus day. Swank gazes across the aisle, heartbroken. A woman sits down with her baby and toddler, and for a moment, Swank forgets all she's lost as she makes eye contact with a sweet, blue-eyed three-year-old. A moment later, the baby throws up onto the toddler, who then runs screaming to the back of the bus. Her tiny toddler hands, filled with baby vomit, smack against the knees of every passenger she approaches. Swank has that moment from all the rom-coms where she realizes she'd rather have love than whatever bullshit she was leaving for, only instead of love, it's $1 million. She jumps up.
Let me off this bus!
Swank runs through the streets of the city. She's smiling and also crying, and fuck it, let's also have it rain here because boxing movies are exactly that corny. She approaches an abortion clinic where the receptionist has just turned off the open sign.
Please, no, I'll be quick!
I'll be quick?
Do you have to?
It's like an express lane that says 10 weeks or less.
Oh my god.
Oh boy. We're gonna get protested by similar groups. Yeah.
Interior boxing gym night. Bob fills a box that is way too small with what we are expected to believe are his only belongings in this office. Swank taps on the door.
Go away.
Swank presses an ultrasound picture against the window, only the ultrasound picture is of an empty room, which will probably have to be acknowledged in dialogue because who can ever tell what's going on in those things.
Is that?
I told you I'm not like the other girls. All I ever wanted was $1 million.
They embrace.
Oh, wow.
Interior stadium night. Swank is fighting in the third round, or whatever the last one is, and the announcers are yelling a bunch of stuff like, good fight, and it's super close. Swank is losing her balance and is obviously exhausted when she gets hit real hard in the boob. Her eyes dart over to Bob.
It's not tender.
What is wrong with me? Swank is reinvigorated by the breast shot and the memory of the sacrifices she's made. She gets off the rope and beats the shit out of the other chick. She wins the fight, obviously, because this would be too dark, even by my standards, if she didn't at least get the money. As the credits roll, Bob is hugging Swank, and he smiles at the front row, which is filled with all the other women he's ever trained. Each of them are holding their babies, the babies that they gave up the fight for. The baby should be much older children by now.
Well, I mean, you kind of did nail it.
That would have gotten processed.
It probably will. You definitely nailed Clint Eastwood.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got that much. So do you know now that it's not about abortion, right?
Do we
talk about what the movie actually is, or do we leave that
definitely
as a surprise?
I think it's not too soon to ruin a movie that won an Oscar 12 years ago or whatever. It's okay.
I deadass thought that movie was about a woman getting an abortion to fight. I didn't think it was like that, but I thought that she was high profile, got pregnant, and had to get an abortion.
It's not feasible.
Yeah.
Even while it's happening in your script, I was like, okay.
Yeah, okay, it could be, that's a nuance of lady fighters. I said that to somebody at some point.
I just want to remember, so we can title this episode Nuance of Lady Fighters.
Nuance of Lady Fighters.
Before we get to
And then I have a tendency to think that movies are about things and then speak about it like it's fact, because my brain will just... I thought that I, Tonya was about sentient sex robots.
like it's iRobot, but with Tonya Harding?
Yeah. I didn't know Tonya. I hadn't seen a preview, and I heard someone say I, Tonya, which sounds like...
Another all-female cast reboot, this time of iRobot.
Oh, that might be what I did. I mashed them together.
Of course that's what you did. That's why... What do you mean is that
I
what
like
I
that
did?
You're like, you're not sure. Maybe.
I thought that was the whole joke.
I literally
thought
that.
Why would you think that I, Tonya, was... I thought that was
I
whole,
just,
that's
I
why
felt
we
like
made
I
the
remembered.
Joke about the Will Smith song. In
oh,
I,
I didn't know why you said to do that. I just got excited about
it. Will Smith had an I, Tonya song? Or an I, Robot song?
He said,
did it. It's a dumb joke.
Oh.
But it's even dumber if you don't know the I, Robot connection. Why would you have laughed at that at all?
You said you should write a Will Smith song to go with it, and I was like, I would love
it. Man, Aaron's onto something. I don't see the connection with Will Smith here, but okay.
I would love to write a song. And then I thought Baby Driver was a Pixar movie. I thought that was a...
It sounds like it could be a
Pixar
movie.
It does.
Movie.
I thought it was like a Boss Baby sequel.
If you love Boss Baby...
He's lost his job and now he's a blue-collar truck driver.
Baby. Still a baby, though.
Still as an age,
Baby Driver.
She dies in the end of Million Dollar Baby. He assists her in dying.
Because she got punched on while fighting, or
yeah, she gets paralyzed in the Million Dollar Fight.
Yeah,
she doesn't win. Which never made any sense to me. Mm-hmm. The lady should at least have been disqualified for her actions anyway. But she gets paralyzed and then doesn't want to go out like that. She's like, I don't want to be a vegetable. Clint, you got to kill me. And he's like, don't you ask me to do that.
Yeah.
Oh,
she's like,
wow.
Do it.
And then he goes, so that's corny. $1 million, baby. And that's where the title comes from.
Oh, really?
No.
It
would not match the tone of the movie.
I did have a picture photoshopped of that was from her getting punched in the face, and I had someone move it to where she's getting punched in the boot. If you need that for...
I will, because I make posters of everyone on the movie poster.
Okay, perfectly.
So I put your face on there.
Nice.
It
actually ends with Justin Timberlake saying, you know what's cool? $1 billion, baby. I don't like the... I said that in...
I liked it. I liked that you said it.
Well, let's move on. Speaking of movies where someone is put down to avoid a life as a vegetable, Aaron, you did Dazed and Confused.
I did Dazed and Confused. I was on a trip with a friend, and we were talking about movies I hadn't seen, and this was one of them. I felt like I had good general idea of what it was about, but never seen it. So,
we'll talk about it afterwards.
Yeah. So so you're Charles.
I'm Charles.
You're Charles. You're the straight man.
Okay.
You're Ray. You
named Ray Charles.
I did name them Ray Charles.
I can't believe you didn't see that coming.
I was writing this last night. And I was like, I'm not going to waste time thinking of character names.
All right, I'm just going to
two character names. Ray.
I'm just
going to
blindly
name
these characters Ray Charles.
But you're a very excited stoner. You're excited about everything you say, and you're stoned. And I'll be reading the stage directions, and then me and Kyle have a couple cameo parts as well.
We'll bury those though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
I'm only Ray. You're.
Yeah.
Is that what?
Oh, Can we? So she just spoiled the cameo. Yeah. Can we bleep that out? That'll be so funny. But leaving us talking about how she spoiled the cameo. We even built it up by saying we're going to bury the lead on who the cameos are. Bury the lead on?
I was trying to get in touch with my character.
Cut it all out. Forget I even said cameo. That's my fault.
We'll bleep it out like she said Beatrix Kiddo.
Beatrix Kiddo. Okay. All right. I'm going to read the stage directions.
But he just looked right at him and did the exact opposite of what we had been talking.
I wasn't
about.
Listening.
This is what I live with. This all the time.
It's so funny.
I was like, there's no way she just said that, right?
I was playing poker one time, and I finally had a two pair, which was the closest I'd ever come to winning. And instead of putting money down and said raise or whatever you say, I just threw the money down and said two pair. Two pair. There was like a fold.
Nicely done.
Real good slow play.
Hire me to do your crimes.
If we have any listeners out there who are hiring for crime.
Hiring for crimes.
If we have any fans
Jess
out here.
Jess Reed's available.
Crime hirers.
Do you have crime? I've been meaning to get to all this crime.
I have my resume up on ZocDoc.
I don't have time.
Oh, crime time?
It's hard to find crime time.
Need to outsource your crime. I'm a freelance crimer.
Well, Jessa Reed is here for you. She will do your crimes and shout them out loud.
Yeah. Robbing bank. She walks in, sets her cards down, and yells, robbing bank.
Robbing this bank.
Hi, when you leave, I'm going to steal your car from you.
Oh, fuck. Well, this is like my podcast.
So you did Dazed and Confused, huh?
I did Dazed and Confused. I'm going to read the stage directions.
I'll be Charles.
You'll be Charles, and you'll be Ray.
Okay.
Okay. Ext. A high school in America. Two long-haired American teenagers are standing under a tree in the foreground. It's the 1970s because they're wearing sweet vintage tees and ZZ Top is cranking. Ray is holding something like a vape pen, but made out of paper. He blows really awesome drug smoke.
Oh, man. The last day of senior year. I can't wait to escape the terrible burdens of being a child receiving a free education.
I don't know. Don't you ever worry that we're trying too hard to grow up and that one day we might look back on these days as the happiest of our lives?
Mr. McKinley sucks.
Charles, too, looks super cool as he smokes drugs. A car pulls past them on its way to the school parking lot. It is filled with hot girls. They are wearing halter tops and not bras. It is the 70s. They smile and wave at the boys as they pass in slow motion.
Wow, Sarah Kane is the hottest girl in school. You should invite her to the big party tonight.
Oh, I don't know.
Dude, for 4 years I've fantasized about you asking out Sarah Kane. And today's your last chance.
Is it? I find it... this to be an arbitrary deadline.
No, this is your last chance to do something cool that I can experience vicariously.
We literally have the rest of our lives. I think maybe our fear of change and uncertainty in the face of an unknown future is placing disproportionate significance on today's events.
What? No way. Graduating means we can become something new. We can finally be the kind of guys that encourage their best friends to talk to girls we're too scared to talk to ourselves.
Ray, I talk to Sarah all the time.
Bullshit.
We've had at least two classes together every year for the last 4 years.
Dude, she doesn't even know you exist.
Our graduating class is 215 people. She definitely knows I exist.
All right. Ray and Charles turn and see their friends, Matthew McConaughey and Johnny Depp, sitting in a classic car from when America was great and teenagers bought muscle cars and also their own houses. As they pull up, Fog Hat is playing on all eight of their tracks. Johnny Depp is wearing a bicentennial hat. It is 1976. Ray and Charles walk over to them.
Matthew, Johnny, what's good?
drugs are good,
but sometimes bad.
Johnny is deaf tweaking. Ray and Charles stare at him. He's right, he's right, he's right.
Groovy, man. So, Matthew, what brings you here?
High school girls. I can smell them.
What the fuck did he just say?
Classic Matt. That's why we call him the lady killer.
Because he murders women?
Matthew, what do you love most about the high school girls?
I'll tell you what I love about high school girls. I keep getting older. They stay the same age.
Haha, yeah, they do.
That is the creepiest shit I have ever heard. There are not yet consequences for sexual misconduct and largely won't be for another 40 years.
Led Zeppelin plays. Credits roll.
I did not know that was the ending.
Yay!
You definitely nailed the McConaughey line.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I feel like I knew all the McConaughey stuff from this movie.
Yeah.
And I've always thought that they were really creepy.
It's very
really
creepy.
Creepy character that he got very famous for. And, like, we still... Like,
which one
won
of those lines
he
is
won
real?
An Oscar.
That's what I like about high school girls. I keep getting older. They stay the
that's
same
real?
Age. That is, like, the most famous
well,
line.
Well, so is
All
Right, All Right, All Right.
Yeah,
isn't that
yeah I know All Right. Well, I know
okay,
All Right. But I didn't know gross.
Yeah.
I stay, yeah, they stay the same age.
And that part, yeah, that part's just a documentary, too. They just use found footage.
And then, so Mormons can't watch weed movies, right?
Well, Mormons can't watch anything rated R. You're not, if you're a good Mormon, I guess, you're not supposed to watch any R-rated movie. And that was like my, I viewed that as my challenge because I always loved movies. And I thought, you know, God, this is my trial. This is my greatest temptation in life is to watch R-rated movies. I was never tempted to have sex with girls in high school or drugs or whatever, but I was always tempted to watch, like Man on Fire. But I would resist. I would say, no, this is, I have to prove to God how much I love him by refusing the things that I love most, which are movies. So I didn't watch any R-rated movies until I was a grown-ass man.
Do Mormons just assume that Johnny Depp is in all R-rated movies?
So what I found out...
But there is some other famous guy in it. Is it like Ben Affleck or something? I don't remember. I haven't seen Dazed and Confused in a long time. There's someone else who's like that.
I think Ben Affleck is in it. I think that... So I started reading this last night after Well, I guess it was still while I was writing it, but I was looking at Wikipedia summaries, and I was shocked to know that Ben Affleck was in it.
That's
I was more shocked to find out that Johnny Depp is not in it.
He actually plays a 1972 Dodge Charger.
That talks like Knight Rider.
Yeah.
I apparently confused Dazed and Confused with Fear and Loathing and thought that they were the same movie. My mind, Dazed and Confused, I was like, that's got Matthew McConaughey being a creep and Johnny Depp in a bucket hat. I thought that they exist. Is
so
that
you,
a shared
you watched
movie
Dazed
universe?
And Loathing.
Yeah, Dazed and Loathing.
How does this fit into the Fear and Loathing universe? Oh, the FLCU?
Yeah.
It's in there. It's in there. They're doing a crossover with Venom.
Yeah.
It's like you kind of really nailed how they sort of talk about how they're like, some of the characters are pretty aware about, are we talking about growing up too much?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
oh,
like
really?
Some of them are a little bit aware about stuff like
I
that.
Never saw it
but
either.
Then some of them are just like oblivious. Nothing happens in the whole movie.
Yeah, it seems like I've seen American Graffiti. I've seen other movies about, like, I feel like I get this genre.
It is almost exactly the same as American Graffiti 20 years later.
Yeah. That's what, when I was watching the trailer last night, I was like, oh, this is definitely.
And then the people who look like they'll stay still actually progress, and the people who progress.
Is it really
thing.
Just
it's
like
almost,
that?
It's not, nothing really
happens.
Someone pulls
the Richard Dreyfuss.
It kind of, I don't even know if Dazed and Confused would hold up. I know McConaughey's character would feel weird.
Yeah.
100% feel very weird. But it's all right. Yeah. It's just one of those movies. I like it more than... I remember I liked it more
than
a lot of those
other... Is it good as a stoner comedy?
Yeah. Yeah, some of the stoners in it are pretty funny.
Okay.
Oh, I thought that just was a stoner comedy.
I don't think everyone's a stoner.
I think it's a stoner comedy and the coming of age.
Maybe not as
high
much
school.
As like Fast Times is like a stoner comedy or something like that.
Fast Times is a stoner comedy?
Like at least...
It's another one I haven't seen.
Yeah, prevalent weed. I don't know.
Okay.
The weed was so cartoonish until like 4 years ago in movies.
Yeah,
it was like such a... The way everyone behaved and everything was so ridiculous. I'm not taking a stance against it. It was funny. But it's all right. You did kind of... This one... I don't know why this one lingered when there were like 400 Dazed and Confused came out in that decade. But this one's still around.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know either. Maybe I'll finally check it out. The thing that I was most proud of, though, is when in my research last night, when I was like, I started looking at the soundtrack, and there was something about, there was like some article I clicked on that was comparing the soundtrack to Almost Famous and Dazed and Confused, and in that article about the soundtrack, it talked about the iconic opening scene in the parking lot of the school. Like, that's the first scene. And I was like, fucking nailed it. Yes.
I mean, it's pretty – there was a lot that's pretty close. And then it's – some of them are talking – they just literally sit around and talk about we're getting
older. Because I was
like,
what a funny that your whole movie is just this – dumb conversation between these two guys, and that's actually what's
going
to be
about. Well, I thought that I had to just do one scene, and then when I saw yours, I was like, oh, you've gone through the whole movie. There are multiple
montages
here. There's montages.
We don't stick too hard to the logistics here.
Okay. Yeah.
We don't want to pull back the curtain on how the show is made. But, but yeah, I mean, it's pretty... You kind of nailed the whole. There's really only two places where things happen, maybe three in the home, and then they all just. It's all about going to a party, and then the party is kind of disappointing.
Every high school movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's where. Yeah.
I don't know. I want to know, what was the first R-rated movie you saw?
Okay. The very first R-rated movie I saw was Alien. That's what broke the dam. I watched Alien with some Mormon friends who are very Mormon, and they're like, "Yeah, we love Alien." I promise you, it's not that bad. It says it's rated R, but really, it's better than most PG-13 movies you'll see. And by better, they mean like in terms of content, right? So I'm like, okay, I'll do it. And I, they were absolutely right. There's nothing really rated R in it. And then there was just this moment where I was like, ha ha, you know what? This is a bullshit, arbitrary line set up in the sand that someone, because they said this is, because the whole point of rated R, you're not supposed to see it, is you're not supposed to take in stuff that's bad for you, evil for you and stuff. And I watched it and I was like, there was nothing bad in this movie. I want to watch more movies. And so I went that weekend, I just started tearing through like movies that I'd always wanted to see. And always said no.
Next up, Man on Fire.
Yeah, I watched Man on Fire.
When this happened?
I'm mid 20s, late. It was before.
Oh, wow.
It was before my son was born, so it's okay. Like so in the 26, like
wow.
That. Man on Fire was very disappointing to me. Every single boy that I was friends with in high school said Man on Fire was his favorite movie, and then I watched Man on Fire, and I was like, as a 26-year-old, and I thought, oh yeah, this seems like it'd be really cool shit if I was 16. I would also love this if I was 16, but really, it's not that great. Some of the movies I've gotten to see, though, like classics that I've always kept myself from watching that now I finally see.
It's just so interesting that Alien was what opened the floodgates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also that violence doesn't hold the same stigma as sexual content does.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely not.
I mean, I'm not like breaking any new ground by saying that.
No, absolutely
that not. That movie's rated R for violence, right? Maybe language.
Yeah, but there's still only the violence that is depicted in it. There's like the chest buster scene that's super famous.
Yeah.
And that's about it. And I feel like you could probably get away with that scene in a PG-13 movie today.
Yeah, I think you can say fuck in a PG-13 movie now,
you can
right?
say fuck twice in a PG-13 movie.
Wow, really? what a fun email chain that probably was.
Then,
give us two.
But this was part
for
of the
tag?
Stuff that I found out in... I started noticing the hypocrisy in this rule because you could I could watch an old like Police Academy movie that was rated PG and there were boobs in it and they said they swore tons of swear words and all kinds of stuff and that but like just when it came out it got rated PG
plus a lot of those sound effects are pretty risky. That's so crazy. So I want to
Mine was Porky's when I was six.
Yeah, see, that's what I want to talk about. Like, what's the difference here in what? Like, legitimately the movie that would have been the reason to not watch rated R movies.
Yeah, yeah. My parents, it was New Year's Eve, and my parents were left us with a babysitter.
Oh, so romantic.
And I talked the babysitter into letting me watch Porky's because my parents had, like, watched it and wouldn't let me watch it. You know, wouldn't even do the covering of the eyes thing. Yeah. So I was just obsessed with this movie. Mm-hmm. And
how do you feel, like, as a, I don't know if you, like, remember, how do you feel having watched that movie as a kid?
I didn't get it. I didn't get it at all. So I was like, I don't understand what the, I mean, I think I knew, I understood sex by that point to a certain extent. I got the innuendo, but it was a, it was a letdown, and then it bugged me, oddly enough, because I lied all the time when I was a kid. But that particular thing, like weighed on my conscience. And when I was, like, nine, I was like, I have to tell you guys something. I watched Porky's
years ago.
And then, I think I was allowed to watch most rated R movies as a kid. I was not sheltered.
This is such a different... This is so different.
Yeah.
These are such... I mean, I'm not... So we... I don't want to give you guys any news, but you have different upbringings. I don't know if you want to write this down.
So our podcast, Mormon and the Meth Head, is essentially examining that difference that we just... there's a million different examples
of it. Have you ever delved pretty deep into it, specifically with, like, movies or entertainment or anything like that? Like, what the exposure...
No, we saved that for you, Kyle.
Oh,
there
thank
is
you.
A ton... he has seen everything. So he is... When I talk about stuff, he's like, yeah, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, you ever seen, you know, the movie? And I never have seen anything.
Okay.
And so I don't get any of the references.
Do you think this might be a product of withholding and then... getting it later in life?
Well, I just always loved movies. I don't think Jessa likes movies that much. She doesn't want to sit. I love sitting and watching movies and talking about them. So I always did. When I was in high school, I would read the Wikipedia pages of R-rated movies just so that I could know, like, the summary of it and why it's important and stuff. I would, like, research movies that I never even watched. So I always liked movies, but then, yes, once I got to the point where I was like, I'm watching R-rated movies now, there was then that period of time where I was just like, my brother had given me a hard drive that had, like, 400 illegally pirated movies on it. And I spent an entire summer just watching everything on that hard drive that he had.
That's crazy.
I don't have the attention span to finish anything. My parents had that box that steals cable.
Yeah.
When I was a teenager.
Yeah.
And so you could
just like readily available and illegal.
Yeah, you could like buy it from your friend at the pool hall or whatever. And then you just plug it in and you get all of the cable. And back then, pay-per-view played the same movie on a loop. Mm-hmm. And my favorite movie was Thelma and Louise, and I had watched it no less than 40 times and did not find out until I was an adult that that they die at the end. I had no idea. I had watched it so many times, but I notoriously get up, I'm done with a movie 20 minutes before the movie is done. And so I had watched it over and over and over again and had no idea. I was like, what could happen
just
from here?
Just another American success story. And then you just get up and go make something to eat.
Wonderful.
That happened when I was a freshman in high school. We watched Selena, and I missed the second day, and I'd never heard of Selena, and I didn't know what happened. I came back in, and I was like, what happens at the end of Selena? And everyone's like, she gets killed. And I was like, no, what happens? And then the teacher made everyone rewatch the end of Selena, like the last like 25 or 30 minutes again. And I was like, oh, so she was real? Like, I didn't even know she was real. And I just assumed she had a fine career or something.
What a weird.
She was real.
But now, you know, she seemed nice.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. She did.
And then, so we were talking a little bit beforehand. We're starting to make a tally of who has or hasn't seen The Godfather because it comes up more often than anything else. Where I'll ask people, like, what movie do you want to write? And maybe that's not in the forefront of their mind because it's maybe the most famous movie.
Yeah.
No one has seen it. You've seen it.
I've seen it.
Aaron,
it was one.
It.
That
Jesse,
was in
you
that first summer.
Is it? I haven't seen it, and I thought I was the only person that hadn't seen it.
No, I haven't. I haven't seen any of them.
So is it a generational thing? Maybe it's less common for your generation.
It's getting to be kind of an old movie.
Okay.
You know, 1972 was a while ago, and so I think there's a bunch of it's also so ubiquitous, like it's everywhere. It's referenced in everything. There's so many homages to it. People, it's very quotable. I mean, like I think I had never seen The Godfather, but I had seen You've Got Mail, which is just like Tom Hanks just goes through all of his favorite Godfather quotes. Like, it's referenced everywhere that I think maybe a bunch of people get it. They understand. Like,
do you
they
think
know
it
what
would
it
make
is.
The movie less good? Like, if I've never seen it, but I've been overly immersed in...
It didn't for me. Okay. It was... I love it so much. It is a near perfect movie.
Yeah.
And it's so... Like, everyone talked about it. I knew about it my whole life, and I finally watched it, and it blew me away.
So you would say best one's probably the third one, and then the other two after that are kind of just whatever you have time for?
Godfather 2 is held up all the time as this perfect sequel, the rare sequel that's better than the original. Bullshit. That's the dumbest take I've heard. There's no possible way Godfather 2 is better than the original Godfather. It's good. Godfather 2 is good, but it's not better. The first one is impeccable. It's just amazing. And the second one's okay.
Now, The Godfather, I think we've even talked about I don't understand the timeline or who... Is Robert De Niro and Marlon Brando the same character?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're the only time that two different actors have received Oscars for playing the same character. I think probably.
Yeah. Did Keanu Reeves win one for the second and third Matrix movies? I love
I watch Godfather every year now, and every time I
on the
do,
same day
well it's always in the summertime because that was the first time that I saw The Godfather was in the summer.
Okay.
It's usually like in August or whatever that
sure.
I get the feeling to watch Godfather again, but I always
it seems like the
get on my
poem.
Phone yeah it was
at sun's peak.
The feeling returns, right. And
he celebrated the solstice the only way he knew how.
I was gonna say I just read trivia on my phone as I watch it. The Godfather has so
trivia
much good
about
trivia.
The Godfather,
yeah.
Or just like stuff
just,
about like
just,
buildings.
You know, just pop culture.
I just play HQ.
It's one of those movies that has a million great stories behind it, and there's trivia for like, oh, did you know that in this scene that this cat was actually Marlon Brando found on set, and like, there's so many cool things about it.
Maybe we could pause and give you a chance to bring up a better fact.
Fuck, you guys haven't seen the movie. It's
you've
iconic.
Seen this cat.
It's an iconic.
Yeah.
I thought
it was Schrodinger who found that. I don't even know what that reference
is. Hire me
to do your crime.
Hire me to do your crime. We got Crimer from Ghostbusters.
So he's petting
in here.
A cat that wasn't in the script,
yeah,
is what you're saying.
Which
that
just, he found on the he found on the lot. The cat loved him, and he just kept holding it, and it's so...
Oh, and that's like a ubiquitous thing is the cat with the... He invented
the
cat with the mob boss.
He invented the cat with the mob boss.
That's a pretty good fact.
He's just this imposing
you
Sicilian
song. Can we edit it so I came up with that fact? I always hear this thing about Marlon Brando. I don't know if it's with The Godfather or with other things where he would have lines like hidden around on the set and because he wouldn't memorize the script. And then he would, a lot of the stuff that people associate with him, like, he was such a good actor. Like, yeah. He would scream at everyone until they cried, you know, acting.
I talked to Jeffrey Tambor about that.
We can't get him on here. He's too big.
He's seen everything. He won't come on. No, as Marlon Brando got older, he got notoriously awful to work with. Like, Apocalypse Now, he was supposed to have a much bigger role in Apocalypse Now, but he showed up late and fucking fat and just, like, wouldn't, and did, and he could, like, so out of shape, he couldn't do any of the work that
he was just
supposed to
that's
do.
That's method acting,
so
he was taking the title
just,
literally.
Like, they changed his entire role and just put him in one dark corner in the shadows so that you couldn't see how fat that he was. They made his character be deathly ill because he was deathly ill. But yeah, so Godfather 2, there's
Godfather also.
Godfather also. Yeah. There's a scene at the end where there's like a flashback scene where all the kids are at the table again. And Marlon Brando was supposed to be in that scene at the table. And he just refused to come out of his trailer. He was there. He was there for that scene. And he was just like, fuck, Francis, fuck off. I don't want to do it.
So he's not in the second one at all.
He's not.
But he was 20 feet away. Sitting in a trailer.
He's sitting in a trailer. For at least the scene. This one scene where they're like, you know, before Michael goes off to war or something. They're like having one last Christmas dinner together. Mm-hmm. And they're talking about Papa, but Papa's not. He's like upstairs or whatever. Like hasn't come down yet. He was supposed to be in that scene, but he was just like, I don't want to do it.
But he went all the way there.
Yeah. I mean.
He's just one of those, you know. He's just quirky. He's a real quirky guy. That blows my mind. So Jess, you've never seen anything.
I've seen a few things, but I have not seen most movies.
That's kind of how I... What is the trash that you've seen the most? Is there something you've seen 20 times? Or some show that you rewatch instead of investing in anything else?
I have been through phases. I was obsessed with Madonna when I was young. I've seen Who's That Girl, which is definitely a reference neither of you are going to get.
Yeah. Who is that girl?
A terrible Madonna, Shanghai Surprise, her and Sean Penn. That's when I watched movies is when I was young.
And what's a Shanghai Surprise?
It was a Sean Penn and Madonna movie.
Oh, okay.
Did you mean literally together. What is a Shanghai Surprise, though?
I thought you were talking about Who's That Girl, and they were like, and then they Shanghai Surprise her.
Who's That Girl?
It sounded like a weird sexual act that was done upon her and Sean Penn.
It's just combining all Madonna's movies into one sentence.
Yes. And then Desperately Seeking Susan. A League of Their Own was good.
That's great.
I've seen that. Yeah.
That was a good movie. I don't think
We'll always have that Madonna movie together.
Yeah.
What was that?
Wasn't she in Dick Ava? Tracy too?
Yeah. And then Aviva. What was Aviva?
Yeah, Ava Perón. Wasn't she in a Perón movie?
Yeah, that was too much singing, which is weird as a Madonna fan.
I like Madonna. I didn't like when I found out she'd sang.
Or was it like a foreign... I can't watch anything with subtitles.
Nothing?
The worst movie I've ever seen was a movie called Annapolis that my husband at the time made me go to, and it was a boxing movie.
I've never even heard
of it. It was a contrived. We looked it up the other day when I was talking about Aaron. Who was it? Who's in it?
James Franco.
So it's a recent movie. I wasn't even like getting a decade.
It's like 2006. 2006.
Yeah, I thought I'd pull it out of the decade before you guys were born.
Thank you.
Hold on. It's only 57 minutes long.
That can't be right.
Really?
Yeah. It is a movie that came out that
it's
is
gotta be an hour
not
57.
1 hour long.
And Jessa left 20 minutes before it ended.
Oh, it was. We did leave 20 minutes before it ended.
This can't be right.
It was so bad. It was like the most cheesy, contrived boxing movie. It was like...
And he's in the Navy?
It was so
bad. Yeah, or he wants
bad.
To be in the Navy.
It was so
He's
bad.
He's at least in Annapolis.
Yeah. He's in one Annapolis.
It was only like tropes, and it was awful. And so the whole time I was like, I don't want to be here. This movie's terrible, to my then boyfriend. And then the film melted.
What do you mean?
The actual,
literally?
Like, we're at the movie theater, and the thing went and melted because I have magic powers.
Yeah.
Oh, can you imagine? Yeah.
That could have been the only copy.
It was the only copy in the...
I'm looking at how well this did at the box office, and that could have been the only copy of Annapolis had anywhere.
That's why
they were playing it in Delaware.
Oh, wow.
The reason now it's only 57 minutes long is because Jessa burned it halfway through.
45 minutes of it burned down.
Oh, that felt longer than 57 minutes.
This is
that.
The tagline. Oh, there's multiple taglines to Annapolis. Ugh. You know, because someone... You can't narrow it down. Here's one. Where heroes are born and legends are made.
Yep,
has been a tagline to at least a dozen movies. And here's the official tagline: 50,000 apply, 1,200 are accepted, only the best survive. It's just like nothing to that.
What a fucking propaganda bullshit. So I grew up in Maryland, and we would have like Navy recruiters come to our high school all the time. And as a Boy Scout, I would go on a yearly trip to Annapolis, and I thought I wanted to be in the Navy. I was like, that was my dream, because they hype it up, and you're just like, yeah, only the best. And it just feels like the Naval Academy wrote that down. Like, we want to make sure we get the statistic in the tagline of how many we accept.
It might have been made by the Naval Academy.
No, it actually, the number one trivia is this picture was made without the support of the U.S. Department of the Navy.
Because it's
the
terrible.
The Navy was like, no. Was like, they're like, we already bought this Three Doors Down song. We have to put it in something.
This isn't what we were hoping for.
The trivia is incredible. The trailer shows a battleship exploding and people falling into a pool at what appears to be a party. Neither of these things appear in the film. What is this footage?
What year did Coast Guard movie come out with Ashton Kutcher?
Navy SEAL Ashton Kutcher or whatever?
Yeah, I felt like that was like really big for the Coast Guard because that movie did well. People were like, "Oh yeah, the Coast Guard is cool." And
IMDb
useful.
Says Ashton Kutcher was an actor from 1998 to 2006. it gave his career an end date on IMDb.
Oh man, that's cold.
The Guardian. I remember the Guardian because it had that Snow Patrol song that everyone liked. Trailer is like a really sad Snow Patrol song. Also, the same year. So maybe this is like an Armageddon Deep Impact situation.
Exactly. I feel like the Navy probably was like interested at first. They're like, yeah, we want to get some of that Kevin Costner shit.
It seems more like it's a Deep Impact, another Deep Impact situation. Where there's just two of the worst version of the movies coming out the same year.
Did James Franco do any Navy shit? He just boxes. He doesn't
I
go
feel
on
like,
a destroyer.
I'm trying to remember what it, I was just like, are you kidding? Like, I need the dialogue to be good and compelling. I don't like a ton of action. It was montage scenes. After montage scene with this super feigned
montage.
The thing about these boxing academies in the Navy are 50,000 apply, 1,200 get in. Only the strong survive.
And it was like a real feigned like conflict, and like the stakes were nothing, but they tried to use music to make the stakes feel more, and then it was like. I just remember being like, are you fucking kidding me?
And you stayed for the whole thing?
No, I stayed until I melted it.
Until it melted with my eyes. What happened?
And then he was mad at me. This is how irrational. He was mad at me because, of course, I did it because I wanted it so bad. There is a possibility I wanted it enough to have stepped us onto a different timeline where this movie just melted. And then it was the only one they had in the building, which is weird. And so then we were leaving. They gave us free tickets to come back and see Annapolis. And I was like, I will not.
They have to get another copy. They only made 50,000 copies of the movie, and 1,200 of them burned up, and only one survived.
Good.
This is the first movie I've ever seen where none of the characters have last names. That's how bad you know it is. Well, James Franco's character has a last name, but then there's Ref, AJ, Burton, Bill, Kevin. Someone's named Ali in the boxing movie, which seems like a little bit midshipman.
Midshipman.
Oh, God, I wish I could remember. Is there a synopsis?
Oh, yeah.
Because I could explain what sucks more if I could remember.
So there's the brief one, which sounds like a robot tried to make a movie. A young man from the wrong side of the tracks whose dream is attending Annapolis becomes a reality. The wrong side of the tracks in the ocean? A man born on the wrong side of the Mid-Atlantic Ridge.
I do remember playing up the wrong side of the tracks, but it was like not really that believable with young James Franco.
And then it says he's born in a shipbuilder's family and wants to join the Navy. That sounds like literally the right side of the tracks. His parents live where the tracks go to the ships.
That's very strange.
Have you ever walked out of a movie?
Yes. Let me think. Lots.
Really?
Yeah. Or I'll just...
This always seems to be like people either are like, I'm totally fine with walking out of movies, or I stick through it no matter... Like, no one's really ever walked out of one or two.
I did a 5-year stint in Christianity, and during that, we went to Natural Born Killers, which...
Really?
Yeah, we watched rated R movies, but like that is
I just
is
saw
a,
that.
Yeah. Can you imagine? So we're like 18 years old. I was just turned on.
That will
and
hit
I
you at
like,
the
get
most
me.
Perfect.
Yeah, Julia. Yeah.
That movie was hot as fuck.
I imagine being 18 and seeing that movie, it will really affect your life.
Yeah.
No matter what is happening in your life, it's like that's the exact right age to have a movie completely change what's happening for you.
Yeah. No, it definitely, the rest of the night was fun. But like we were like, we're going to have to like repent for this tomorrow. Should we leave? And so we left.
I took a Mormon girl out on a date one time. I think this is after my mission, or maybe right before, but it was in Idaho. I met this cute girl. I asked her out on a date. We went to go see a movie. We saw Accepted, starring Justin Long.
Yeah.
Which is just like a camp nowhere, but for college. Mm-hmm. And it was fine or whatever. I was enjoying it, I think. And then the girl turned to me at one point and was like, will you take me home? because she was, you know, Mormon. They teach you that at Mormon church too. It's like, if there's something offensive, you should follow the promptings of the Spirit and get up and leave. But I was not happy about this.
Yeah. About leaving?
About leaving. Because I fucking bought a ticket for me and you. Yeah. And I don't even get to finish the movie. You can, if you don't like it, like, you can wait, I guess, until I'm done. I didn't say any of that. I just said, oh, of course, yeah, sure. But yeah. I knew immediately I'm never talking to this girl again. And I just really politely, like, drove her back to her house and then drove straight back to the theater and caught the last, like, 20 minutes of the movie. Wait,
to the same, like, where you were just the same show.
Yeah, I started I was like, I want to see how it ends.
Does he get accepted?
Does the shenanigans get pulled off?
Turns out the word accepted has more than one meaning.
Oh.
This and more tonight at 9. I had a friend who worked in a movie theater, and it was like the bad, crappy movie theater.
I used to work in one of those.
Yeah. There's like the AMC that was down the street, and this was
Was it like the dollar theater second run?
It was half that, and then it would have like two movies at a time, and then it would be showing like an old cartoon.
Okay.
Like a 4-year-old cartoon.
I love movie theaters like this.
And we went there once because he was like, we got the Hulk. And we're going to watch the Hulk at midnight.
Yeah.
And it's for only the employees.
Yeah.
And
it was happy.
Do you work at Blue Springs 8?
No, I worked at the Real Theater. REEL. The Real Theater.
Yeah. Any business that's a pun, you're like, there's a better version of you somewhere else in the city. And we went and we got there and they put in the Hulk. It was just the employees and their friends. And it was Edward Norton, like the first Edward Norton Hulk or something. So we're all excited because it's the dude from Rounders is in the Hulk. And and we go and they didn't get the Hulk. They got The Happening with Mark Wahlberg. And it came out the same day. And we all were upset. And people started leaving, and it's so bad. It's maybe the worst movie I've ever seen. And people were like screaming, even though none of us paid a single dollar to be here.
Oh, wow.
And you could clearly leave. We all got free food, and we're still complaining. And it was terrible, but I sat through the whole thing. I don't think I ever have walked out.
Nice.
Of a movie, I'd be too cheap, or I'd feel like
I miss working at the theater. Though I would do so many midnight show, like after the theater's closed, we would just stick around and watch The Prestige. that was for my birth. Like we got The Prestige on my birthday, and I was like, I called my brother. I was like, "You're gonna come watch The Prestige tonight." It was great.
That's
much
good,
better than The Happening.
That would be
much better.
Yeah, I'd say much better than The Happening as well. Okay, we got some games here, a couple of dumb games to play here. The first one's a very pun-driven game. We explained a little bit beforehand, called Before and Afters, where I will read the plot to a made-up movie, and you tell me the title, and it's two movie titles smashed into one.
Okay. You're going to tell me the
plot.
I'll
read you the plot.
And
I've already made the pun.
Okay. You just don't know it yet.
Okay. And this game relies on your knowledge of movie titles.
Yeah, so movie Aaron titles. Will field these.
Yeah, yeah. This.
I'd love to see what you come up with, though.
Mm-hmm.
And feel free to work together or see who can
they're
win.
They're all just Annapolis Million Dollar Baby mashups. Only two.
Yeah, they're all a Million Dollar Banapolis.
Annapolis Baby Driver.
What if Annapolis was in here, I would have probably shut my computer when you started talking about it. Okay, number one. There's four. A creature the size of skyscrapers attacks... I thought you were taking notes for some reason. I was like, he's really creature the size of skyscrapers attacks New York City in an effort to play a game of catch with his father and maybe even the ghost of Shoeless Joe Jackson.
A Godzilla of their own?
That's close. You're in the right
close.
World for the whole thing.
Cloverfield of Dreams.
Cloverfield of Dreams.
Cloverfield of Dreams.
I couldn't. I kept
being like Godzilla of Dreams.
I was thinking Field of Dreams. Did I say a Godzilla of their own?
Godzilla of their own.
Field of Dreams.
Which sounds nice. Like
they'll come or whatever.
Yeah.
When the Japanese people see us making our own Godzilla movies,
yeah.
They're like, oh, look, a Godzilla of their own.
It's
really fat, just like them. Good for those fat.
Good for them. And they put Madonna in it. I didn't know she sang.
All right,
that one's a pretty concise one. I don't do a very good job of combining the movie plots, so the next ones are a little longer. During the Civil War, a mysterious stranger and a Mexican outlaw form an uneasy partnership to collect reward money, then must team up to beat out a sadistic criminal,
got it.
Leading to a showdown in a trendy bar where barmaids are expected to tantalize customers with dancing.
Good, Bad, and Ugly Coyote.
Almost the right exact. Good, Bad, and the Coyote Ugly.
And the Coyote Ugly. Damn it.
You were ready, though.
I was going for Young Ugly. Guns.
Young Guns and full of... No, he wouldn't do that.
I'm sorry. I'm letting you go first on all the other ones.
I felt you, Aaron, getting that one, though. You can feel it. All right.
I love Good, Bad, and the Ugly. It's
number
great.
Three. 3 years after the scandal that ended his career, an aging rocker slash politician selects a British TV personality to conduct a one-on-one interview with him about how he has magically revived his life by turning into a snowman. This is one of the hardest ones we've ever had, I think.
Okay.
Although I think you sung it.
I think I got it.
Frozen Jerry Maguire.
That sounds like you grew up in New Jersey with an ice cream man. That's Frozen Jerry Maguire. He comes around. That's Frozen Jerry.
Hey, Frozen Jerry Maguire.
Can I get a hey, how about I'll give you some ice cream when you show me the money, kid?
Show me the popsicles.
I'll take Candy Gooding Jr. You are not, like, the pun is not your game. You just literally, these are two things. You didn't know ever to put anything together.
She only knows six movies.
I know, this is so funny.
The fact that she got to Young Guns and...
anything Kiefer Sutherland. I was obsessed with Kiefer Sutherland, so I've seen all of those.
Anyway, is it Frosty Nixon?
It's, no. You're what? Close, though.
Okay. You tell me. I think that's all I got.
Jack Frost Nixon.
Jack Frost Nixon.
Yeah.
Jack Frost.
Yeah.
I mean, that is that Michael Keaton?
I don't remember who that was. I don't
okay.
remember.
Okay, all right.
All right, last one. Two lifelong friends are buried in debt. They decide to make an adult film to raise some cash, but are hunted by a merciless killer after the same money, while an aging lawman attempts to put the pieces together while reflecting on the world changing around him.
Go for it, Jessa.
Yeah, I'm actually very excited about this, too.
Can you read, can you read it again?
Read
it again.
I actually didn't write any of these down, so let me tell you. Two lifelong friends are buried in debt. They decide to make an adult film to raise some cash, but are hunted by a merciless killer after the same money, while an aging lawman attempts to put the pieces together, reflecting on the world changing around him.
Zach and Miri Make a Departed.
Oh, you're so, close. So close. I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
You're half
either.
Right.
It's just...
Zach and Miri Make a Departed?
I think...
Zach and Miri Make a You Departed from the Game.
I mean, I knew it was...
You're right on the first one.
All right. Is Zach and Miri the movie they're looking... That's where I just can't figure out what the pun is, unless I'm thinking of the wrong movie.
But are hunted by a merciless killer after the same money, while an aging lawman attempts to put the pieces together. While reflecting on the world changing around him.
It's just like No Country for Zach and Miri. Zach and Miri make a No Country for
Zach
Old Men.
Zach and Miri Make a Porno Country for Old Men.
Make a Porno Country.
God.
Fuck, Kyle. Make a Porno Country.
Change it to P-O-O-R, too. It's a poor No Country. Make a poor pun.
Yeah, it's just like I like how in this pun movie.
It wasn't
though,
quite as good as Make a Departed.
Make a Departed.
I like wordplay.
Yeah, it's
Zach.
I like advanced wordplay.
I would like Zach. What kind of movie do you want to make? I'd like to make like a poor man's No Country.
Yeah, they make No Country for Men on no budget.
Yeah.
Oh man. Well,
make a porno country.
Make a porno.
Kyle.
That was really good.
I got to give a shout out. We give it every episode, but Aaron in upstate New York, who is a fan of the show and listens, sent me about 300 before and after titles, and I just come up with the
Came
up with Zach and Miri Make a Porno Country for Old Men, and I come up with the plot.
Way to try to pin this off on one of your fans.
Yeah.
right now would be a good time to point out that I didn't write it.
Yeah. There's so many good ones in there. I wrote them for a long time and just kept making one of them Catch Me If You Can every time because there's so many good syllables in Catch Me If You Can. So we got a bunch of good ones to work with, and so thanks to those. All right, next game. This game is called Three Tracks. What we do is I have audio from three famous movie scenes playing simultaneously.
Okay.
And you can just guess while it's playing. what the three movie scenes are. And some people say it sounds terrifying. And a lot of feedback we get about this game is maybe come up with some other games. And, but this is these three here. I don't even remember what they are, but we'll try and guess them.
Shall we?
Between Jack's back taxes and the Fred Hayes show.
Oh, Anderson.
I'd say that was a pretty successful broadcast.
Let's put you out of your misery.
Where did that come from?
Thank you very much, Houston.
That, back there, that was amazing. Where did you learn that?
Well,
when one lives alone, one has to learn these things in case there's an arrow in your butt.
What?
That's your worst fear.
Oh, would you look at that?
Oh, no.
And if you could,
this is all my fault.
Give your oxygen tank cider that is worth a great deal.
Trex, hurry! Oh, no, Shrek's going to die.
Donkey, I'm okay.
Oh, you can't do this to me, Shrek. I'm too young for you to die. Kick your legs elevated. Turn your head and call.
Eric.
Does anyone know the Heimlich?
Donkey, calm down.
Any ideas?
I want two of them.
Okay, what are they? You can get some right now while I'm playing.
Blue flower, red thing.
No, my brain's great at listening to this,
yes,
but I just have never heard any of
these. So one of them is Shrek.
One Shrek.
Is that the Eddie Murphy one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cameron Diaz. Mike Myers. The other one's Apollo 13.
The one's Apollo 13.
I cannot hear what the third one is. I have no idea. That guy talking right there?
That actor is deceased.
Cagney. No.
Is it a courtroom thing?
Classroom.
Is Robin Williams? Is it Dead Poets
Society? Dead Poets Society. It is.
Dead Poets Society. Okay. Thank you for the clues. I wouldn't have... It was so, as soon as I heard Shrek, I couldn't make Shrek go. I was like, get out. I got
that
like Apollo
fun.
13 right away, and then Shrek, and then I was like, where is the third audio? I couldn't.
I think that's what my brain sounds like all the time, so I could very easily be like, all right, I'm on
what
this one.
What a fascinating look into your mind.
Shut the other two off and listen. Clearly, I was just like, I just clearly have not
heard. So you knew these were the three movies, just not what these three movies were.
I can tune in and out.
That's why we're a team.
Yeah.
If only
but
we
then
could
I had no idea.
That's crazy. It's fun to watch people listen to those because you can see people directionally, even if they're just like, moving a little bit. I'm like, oh, they're trying to switch what movie they're listening to.
Yeah. I kept doing that, turn my head to listen to a different movie.
I went through all of them, three times and was like, oh, I'm not in these movies.
Well, our last game, last thing on the whole podcast, we're going to go back around to Kyle's dad describes a movie trailer, having heard of the movie and only seen the trailer.
Okay.
And so we'll let this play, and then
I'm going to write down what I thought it was.
Do you want a pen, or are you just going to use the back of this?
When I turn this blank piece of paper around,
it was blank check.
oh man, wasn't that just like the height of your imagination?
Yeah.
With a blank check, I was like, I want a house with a slide that goes from my room to a swimming pool.
That also really made you think $1 million was $5 billion.
It really did. In the 90s it was. This was the big boom. Also, just I loved the idea. I wanted as a child, as like a 9-year-old kid, I wanted a serious, committed relationship with an adult woman.
Right. That really hold up. And you're like, how do I get an adult woman to run through fountains with me?
$5 billion. That's all that it takes.
You can have her on retainer for whatever she does, which is no job.
If you
and
were,
also the guy
oh,
who just drove his
limo. Oh, is that the
Demi
Moore movie with Woody Harrelson where
no.
she pays, the what? Guy pays to fuck her?
No, that's Indecent Proposal.
Oh, okay, sorry. No, I guess you guys
thinking about a Pretty Woman, and that's Julia Roberts and Richard Gere.
No, I'm talking. Well, you just were talking about a check to get a woman.
Right.
Blank check. Is it a Disney movie?
It is. I think it's a kid. It's a kid. A bad guy gives a kid.
He like
a blank
runs the kid's
check,
bike over,
and he just hands him a blank check. He's like, "Yeah, kid, your parents will figure it out." And then the kid writes in $1 million, and now he has $1 million.
And then a bank cashes it.
A bank cashes it for this child. He buys himself a mansion.
A castle.
A limousine, a chauffeur, and a wife with this $1 million
plus
check.
Plus all the things. That's back in the 90s when if you wanted a big TV, you had to get 400 small TVs and stack them on top of each other and somehow play one thing through all of them.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
That kid was living large. But if you were a gold digger, if you were like, I'm just going to marry someone for money, wouldn't you pick a 12-year-old?
Wasn't
over...
she actually secretly a cop?
Oh, shit.
She was like
was
investigating
she?
To see where he got all this money from. No one stops anything from happening the whole time. That's what's so crazy. He walks into the bank and they think he's a mobster named Juice, so they give him $1 million in cash.
I don't remember this part.
Yeah, because
they think he's a 12-year-old mobster.
Yeah, they're looking for a guy named Juice to come pick up the money. And then the actual Juice shows up, and so then he starts getting tailed by Juice.
By the mobsters. Which the also, mobsters are hunting him. I remember that.
Yeah.
But it's just like, seems really easy. You could just go break that kid's legs.
And he went by Mr. Macintosh because he had an Apple computer. And there's nothing.
Did he not have parents?
No, he did. That was the thing. He felt slighted. He thought they forgot his birthday or something. And then at the end, he goes back to his house, and they have cake for him, and everything's fine. And there's no legal repercussions.
It's a good movie.
It's great.
Wow. Check it out. Check it out.
Okay, so here's the movie trailer my dad described. We'll guess it here after this one plays.
Okay.
Okay. So he's hanging out at the diner. The server really wants to know what he does for a job. Now he's going out with the waitress. They're gonna run. A lot of very colorful shots of cars. That's really his name? He's too young for this.
What?
He loves music. Now they're yelling at each other while dressed as Austin Powers.
What? Oh, I know that. It's not what I originally thought.
Okay, guess.
Equalizer was the first thing that I thought when he said diner. Someone asking him what his job was.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought of like an Equalizer trailer.
Okay.
Where he's like sitting there and they're like, what do you do? And he's like, no, definitely not kill people. Jess, this is a movie you know of.
Oh,
It's a movie you know of and you've already mentioned it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's actually come up.
I've already mentioned it today.
I've already mentioned it, yeah.
A League of Their Own.
No. Cars.
Baby Driver?
Yeah! Baby Driver.
Oh, wow. So technically, I guessed it. Because that was in my head.
Technically, I guessed it.
Even though Aaron was confident enough not knowing the answer to tell you you were right. It is Baby Driver. Guys, thanks for doing the podcast. Thank you for having us.
Hey, this is
tell
so
everyone
much fun.
Everywhere to find you.
Our podcast is called Mormon and the Meth Head. Wherever you like looking for podcasts, go there. MormonandTheMethHead.com. We've got a Facebook page, a subreddit. Basically, if you can type Mormon and the Meth Head into your Google search, you're going to find us.
You'll find us.
Tell them a little bit about it because we briefly touched on it.
Go ahead.
Me?
Mm-hmm.
I was a former Mormon and she was a former meth addict, and we lived completely opposite lives but ended up with really similar experiences because of it. And became tight friends, and I was leaving Mormonism. You know, she's like teaching me. I'm finally experiencing R-rated movies and like weed for the first time, which she, you know, watched Porky's when she was six while like smoking a bowl with her mom. And so it's a beautiful like odd couple thing, and we talk about really serious stuff, but it's always pretty funny. We keep it light. And
yeah, it's the funniest trauma podcast you've ever heard.
Yeah. And that's a good summary, right?
Yeah. Start at the beginning, though.
Start at the beginning.
Yeah, there's nothing current.
It's definitely a story arc to follow.
And Facebook is where the fans hang out.
Great.
Facebook group. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thanks,
thanks,
guys.
Kyle.
And everybody, thank you for listening. We do fan scripts sometimes, so if you guys want to submit a fan script, please send it to neverseenitshow@gmail.com. So if there's a movie or TV show you haven't seen, write a brief script and send it to us there, neverseenitshow@gmail.com. And if you want more and you want to see some new stuff, check out the Patreon. It is patreon.com/neverseenit. Thank you, guys. I think that's everything. Yeah.
It's a good show!